In the year 1769, Napoleon Bonaparte I was born. He was a warrior that won many battles in his life, in his lifetime, and at age 12, he joined the Royal Military School in Paris. And at age 16, he received the commission of second lieutenant of artillery. A year later, he joined an artillery regiment, and within 3 months, he went from the grades of private to corporal to sergeant. And by the age of 23, he became captain in artillery. Now, he had dedicated men under his command to help his cause. And his cause was to free the island of Corsica from France. He was promoted to major, and he surrounded the big city and the area called Toulon, which faces the Mediterranean Sea. And he did this in such a way that impressed the people so much that they promoted him to brigadier general. Then his real military career started. Now, he developed a plan, having a principle of war that formed the basis of his future campaigns. He learned to seek a weak point in the enemy line and throw his full strength against it with full force at the decisive hour of battle. And with that point broken or weakened, the enemy collapsed. In his 30th year, he seized power in France, and 5 years later, he crowned himself Emperor of France. 10 years later, he gave up the throne to go to battle again. But at one time, almost all of Europe was under Napoleon's rule. But he became arrogant, ruthless, and reckless. And a year later, he lost the battle at Waterloo. He was captured and exiled to the island of St. Helena, which is west of South Africa. And he died there 6 years later in 1821 at the age of 52. Brethren, we are involved in a terrible war. Our war is a spiritual war because we must fight against our own carnal nature, against the evil influence of this world, and we're even locked in a direct conflict, direct combat with Satan himself. This is a war that involves our eternal life. Can we grasp that? We must develop a passion to win this war. We must have the fortitude to run the course. Time is getting closer and closer to the end of this world. We need to be vigilant, because Satan is out there to get us, and he does not give up. We're instructed to put on the whole armor of God and to war a good warfare. We need to be like Napoleon. He set a goal, and he accomplished it. He believed in his cause. Do we believe in our cause? Turn with me to 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 and 19. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 and 19. Verse 18, notice what Paul said to Timothy. This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before you, that you by them might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Yes, brethren, some of our brothers left. They gave up on faith. And look what happened to them. We have to be strong, using God's Spirit, and not give up to the pulls of the flesh and Satan. We need to put on the whole armor of God, as we're admonished to do in Ephesians 6, verse 11 through 12. Ephesians 6, verse 11 through 12. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Napoleon was a successful warrior because he discovered that there's a science to waging war and winning. Winston Churchill and MacArthur studied Napoleon's strategies of war, and they learned a lot from them. Do we approach our spiritual war as a science? We have to know and understand our enemy, because our war is far more important than any war in this world, considering that our eternal life is at stake. We need to develop a hardness in our resolve that no matter what happens, we will never turn back to this world. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, "You therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Do we understand what it means to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Well, a good soldier is a person that enlisted in the army to learn warfare, to fight, and become a skillful warrior. We have to be brave, so that when our King of Kings and Lord of Lords says charge, we go forth not holding back on anything that this world has to offer. We need to be a skillful warrior, and to do that, we must get down on our knees and pray to Almighty God for understanding of His Word. What does He want us to do? And do it. We have to become warriors to serve the cause. Loyally, we have to be committed to God and Jesus Christ. We have to be like slaves. Brethren, persecution is coming, and it's going to be hard for some of us. I know. I've been through some of it myself, and I've experienced it. I've experienced it to the point that my life was threatened. I had a man tell me that his wish was that he could smash my head with a sledgehammer for believing the ridiculous nonsense that I believe in, as he put it. This is something that you worry about. It makes you get close to God. We must ask God for wisdom and understanding of His ways, and we need to wage offensive warfare in our own problems. How clear do we understand them? God has given us a vast amount of knowledge, but what good is knowledge if we don't use it? So, if we can see our problems and we still succumb to them, we need to stop it. Don't do it. Do we have a problem with idols? Anything that gets you away from God is an idol. Well, stop that. What about images? Do we have that? Do we take God's name in vain? Shame be on us. The world does that all the time, but remember, we are not of this world. How do we keep the Sabbath? Do we desecrate the Sabbath by doing our own thing, or do we keep it holy as we're instructed to do? Keep it holy. Do we dishonor our parents or Jesus? He's the head of the church. Do we dishonor the church? Well, don't do that. Do we kill in our minds? Something really irritates us, maybe while we're driving or even watching the news or shopping. What is our attitude when we get crossed about something? We know that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Well, God does. And He says He is not mocked. And whatsoever we sow, we shall also reap. Think about what King David did when he was tempted and he committed that abominable sin. He repented, and he never did that again, but look what it cost him. Do we commit adultery? What about stealing? Well, that's the same thing as murder. Do we tell lies, just a little white lie, or do we exaggerate the truth? We need to quit that. Do we covet? Well, stop it. Brethren, we are on a mission, and that is to make it into God's kingdom. Our human nature is so much against God's nature, and we must replace it with God's nature. That would be the most magnificent victory that we could ever achieve. The result is eternal life. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us." Napoleon said, "Nothing is attained in war except by calculation. During a campaign, and whatever is not profoundly considered in all its details is without result. Brethren, our spiritual warfare is serious, and we need a system to deal with our major problems, and chance will not cut it. So we must be calculated, figure out the best strategy to fight our battles." Now, I've got 4 points here to make our spiritual warfare a real science. Number one, we need to be gung-ho, develop high morale, get excited. When I was in the military, that was our number one goal. Be gung-ho, get about getting to fight the enemy. Get excited, let out a big yell if you have to. Number two, appreciate unity. Remember what Christ said, a house divided will not stand. And unity is like a chain. All links must work together. Be part of the body. Number three, be focused on your opponent. Don't get distracted from your problem. The best way to learn anything is to be focused, meditate on it, concentrate on it. Stay focused and conquer it and learn to control it. And number four, remember Gideon's army. Gideon's army had 32,000 soldiers, but God cut it down to 300 fully dedicated soldiers. They were all willing to do the job with all that they had to give, their lives. Are we willing to do this for Jesus Christ, our brother and high priest? Well, he did it for us. Paraphrasing according to the message, don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out the love of the Father. Practically everything goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all its wantings and wantings and wantings is on the way out. But whosoever does the will of God is set for eternity.